Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let's get to the news, and then we're going to get to your calls, and then how an ad that our buddy Sean Farish voiced and performed is being silenced and censored in Tennessee, both on radio and television. We'll play that for you coming up shortly. But let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:07, the great Dawn Stensland.
Let's talk about it. In the news this morning, we are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group. 58 degrees, some fog in the region, heating up to an 82-degree lovely day for your trick-or-treating and Halloween. In the news this morning, yes, members of Philadelphia's largest city workers union voting to authorize this strike. More than 9,000 city employees represented by AFSCME, this is District Council 33, working without this contract deal since July. Union president says that he has asked Mayor Parker for higher wages, better benefits, relaxed residency protocols, and that, in fact, Parker's proposed one-year contract extension and a $50 increase per paycheck without addressing their needs is not enough. So they are giving the Parker administration a 10-day notice about this potential strike, and then they will determine next steps. The judge overseeing the lawsuit against Elon Musk. Elon Musk is ordered, we're told, by the judge in this case to appear. All parties must appear. That's the quote. And so many expecting that Elon Musk will have to appear at City Hall in court today. This is not a federal case. It's a specific Philadelphia case, and that's the problem that Musk's attorneys have with it. They say this should be in a federal court, does not belong in Philadelphia City Hall in a courtroom locally. But what's at issue here is that Krasner claims in his suit that America PAC and Musk are, quote, indisputably violating Pennsylvania's statutory prohibitions against illegal lotteries and deceiving consumers. Musk's attorneys have said in no way is this interference with the integrity of elections, and that he has every right to do this giveaway of $1 million if you sign a petition that supports the First and Second Amendments. So Here's the deal. 10 o'clock this morning.
Kale and Company reached out to Elon last night for commentary, and he did provide us one quote.
Go yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. You think he joins via Zoom today, or maybe he tries to attend it via Spaces on X?
Yeah, I don't know how that works, because
zero chance he's showing up.
I mean, his attorneys show up and they are his representatives. They are increasing security, but why would you want that?
Right.
With everything going on.
I'm wondering where he actually has been in the last 24 to 48 hours. If he's been in Pennsylvania, then, you know, now granted, I mean, he could get from the West Coast, to Philadelphia in 9 seconds, you know, his own private chartered flight, the whole bit. But, you know, if he's been on the, you know, campaign trail, so to speak, for Trump, he wasn't in Wisconsin last night, was he? I didn't see him at the Green Bay rally. So I'm wondering where he is physically at.
I mean, I know he's every time I look online, I mean, he was traveling across the country in the Carolinas, but then at the same time, he's in Texas.
Yeah.
With his big rocket launches.
Big rocket.
He's got a big rocket.
Right, he does. Not a little rocket, a big rocket.
Big rocket man.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I wonder, too, if crowds will assemble this morning outside City Hall in hopes that they get a glimpse of Elon Musk.
Yeah, possible.
You know,
possible. I would say he's been the biggest rock star of all of the converted, you know, between Tulsi and Bobby. Elon's had probably the most impact.
100%. So we do have a headline this morning, and just headlining this for you. And we do want to get to the great pumpkin patch story. But Vice President Kamala Harris saying that she had an urgent message for South Central Pennsylvania voters in the, you know, the home stretch of this election. And she said, ours is a fight for democracy. So she was at the Pennsylvania Farm Show Complex and the Expo Center in Harrisburg. And this was, I believe, her first visit to this area specifically since actually becoming the presidential nominee, because we forget, because it feels like a year this summer.
Right.
But in all honesty, she has not been the nominee for very long.
No, and technically she was never nominated. She was installed.
Yeah, so after the installation, if you will, this is her first time at the farm show or in central Pennsylvania in general. So what happened? She gave the speech, but it was disrupted by a group of pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel protesters.
I'm speaking.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's what she said. I mean, she said everybody has a right to be heard, but right now, I am speaking.
Have you noticed this? This has been a consistent pattern here where she is, and I'm always careful with when I see these because I see them on social media, and you can easily have some slap nuts out there that, you know, dubs in somebody like speaking in the background, and then, but apparently these are authentic and, you know, not tinkered with at all.
Let me play it. Phil, can you pull up cut two here? This is Kamala Harris. Where was she? She was in North Carolina, right?
No, this is here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania Farm Show.
I'm sorry.
So this is what, is this York?
Never mind that.
Is this York County?
It's Harrisburg. It's the Expo Center.
Okay, okay.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting that this late in the game, she's still getting heckled.
Yes, yes.
Because she was heckled last night in, or yesterday in North Carolina.
Yeah. Yes. That's a pattern. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I don't know.
Donald Trump's answer to financial pressures is for you to face the same deal. Here's the thing. Let me say something. We are 6 days out of an election. We are 6 days away from an election.
6 days.
Ours is about a fight for democracy and your right to be heard. That is what is on the line in this election.
Look at the face.
On the line in this election. Look, everybody has a right to be heard, but right now I am speaking.
There it is. There's the mic that originated with Mike Pence, remember, folks?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I am speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Is America listening?
Well, we're listening. We just don't comprehend. We're having an interpretation problem because you got to get the word salad fork out to figure out what the hell she's trying to say.
So that one making headlines this morning. We do have a serious story with a Philadelphia man arrested now, under arrest, accused of making these threats against a staffer at a Montgomery County Republican committee and its office. This is a Kale and Company news follow-up for you. It all started October 26th. It was midday, right before lunchtime. This is Whitpain Township, and police say they were called in to the Monco Republican Committee office there. A staffer reported this was disturbing, and we reported the staffer. This was frightening, a frightening situation where this person was threatening, according to the authorities, to shoot the place up or blow it up. So now Whitpain Township police say they tracked that call to 39-year-old Edward Seary Jr., who is from Philadelphia, is not a suburban resident, is not from Montgomery County where this occurred, but rather is from Philadelphia. So he is under arrest. He's charged with threatening to place weapons of mass destruction, as well as two counts of terroristic threats, as well as harassment. DA Kevin Steele speaking out very strongly, saying they're committed to fair, safe, free elections, and that all law enforcement committed to acting swiftly to investigate any threat of violence.
Yeah, something you never expect to see in your own little township. And that is technically my township, Whitpain Township, population of 37 people. And we got a guy threatening to bring in WMDs.
Yes, well, I mean, kudos to law enforcement.
Yeah.
And it's an example of a district attorney who's dedicated to acting quickly, investigating, and then sweeping somebody off the street who's accused of,
yeah,
accused of, you know, threatening, you know, with weapons of mass destruction.
And Kevin Steele's Democrat. We've had him in the, we've had him in the studio before for, I think it was leading up to, was it leading up to the first bike ride?
I think so.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, because the DA's office had a bunch of guys that were, and gals that were riding.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, good, good example of a good DA there. Speaking of district attorneys, we'll take you to DA Larry Krasner.
Bad DAs.
Good, bad. But in this case, Elon Musk, ordered by a judge overseeing the lawsuit by Krasner and Elon Musk's $1 million giveaway to those registered voters who do sign a petition supporting the First and Second Amendments that we've talked about. So originally, I reported to you, this case was supposed to go to court in Philadelphia this Friday. In fact, the judge has bumped it to today. So this is 10 o'clock today. I don't know the reasoning fully behind why they wanted to change it from tomorrow to today, but they bumped it up from yesterday. So this was, Krasner has said that he could still consider criminal charges against Musk, saying that Krasner, the DA of Philadelphia, is tasked with protecting the public from both illegal lotteries and interference with the integrity of elections.
You know, he's just salivating over the opportunity to put this on his resume, right? Like, you know, this guy doesn't want to prosecute any crime. He's a cop's worst enemy, yet he would love to be able to put up a skin on the wall for Elon Musk, would he not?
Yes, sir. I mean, I think that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Krasner and suit said America PAC, which is Musk's, you know, PAC, that it violates Pennsylvania's statutory prohibitions.
Would he be doing this if Elon Musk, about 6 months ago, decided to get involved with the Democrat in a campaign? I would say zero chance. If this whole $1 million thing with the petition was under Kamala Harris's campaign and his PAC was aligned with Kamala, do we think Larry Krasner is calling Elon Musk and saying, get into my courtroom today? Yeah. I'd say 0% chance.
And Musk is, you know, the richest person in the world, right? Great attorneys, no doubt. So is this a gamble? You know, you're talking about a lottery, I guess, for Musk. But is this a gamble for Krasner, taking on somebody like Elon Musk? His attorneys are saying, first of all, they're pushing immediately to get this into a federal court and take it out of a city court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so will this in the end be a bad look for him? I don't have the answer for that. Does it violate a city law, a state law, a federal law?
It'll just fall on party lines. Democrats will be encouraged. They'll enjoy it. Republicans will be against it.
So another story that is making headlines and went viral is President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden, who dressed as a giant panda with a bow on her head, hosted a trick-or-treating event on the White House South Lawn. And this was their very last time that they would host a Halloween party. So the First Lady had participated in the National Zoo's big announcement earlier this year that pandas would be returning to Washington.
So here she is. You're watching a video on YouTube. So it's not the Kung Fu Panda like the Jack Black movie series. I'm just wondering the significance of the panda.
Because the National Zoo had, remember there was a story that China was pulling their pandas because there was a tiff.
Yeah, wasn't there stories of zoos that had fake pandas? They were like other animals kind of decorated up to look like real pandas. They were misinformation pandas is what they were. They were disinformation pandas,
fake
actually.
Fake pandas.
Look at this.
So I think that this was part of the celebration that pandas will return to the National Zoo.
Here comes the nibble dawn. Watch this. If you're watching on YouTube, I think this is the kid. Oh, no, it disappears. All right.
So she was adding to the educational theme. You know, it was called Hello Read.
Yeah.
To help encourage reading.
Mm-hmm.
And to celebrate that she had been a teacher for 40 years. And earlier in the day, she had read a short story about spooky pumpkins.
My wife's a Philly girl.
And she and the president, you know, hosting this event here as he was in a suit and tie.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, those were Hershey Kisses, the chocolates that he was giving out.
Hershey Kiss is very low energy on the candy scale. I'm not a Hershey Kiss fan. Huh. I'm more of a peanut butter cup kind of guy.
A Reese's?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do the Hershey Kisses. I've never... It's still better than candy corn, though. Candy corn is just the worst. I mean, stop with the candy corn. Nobody likes that.
So there were, you know, some jokes about this where she was dressed as the panda. And
by the way, too,
it's with the candy.
Awfully warm for Halloween. So, you know, she was sweating her keister off in that costume.
It makes me wonder, remember back in the day when the Easter Bunny dressed in a full furry Easter Bunny outfit was leading the president?
Yeah, that was Easter of 2021 or 2022, I believe.
So was she the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, she might like just dressing up as animals. I don't know.
What's
Democrats are into weird things. I don't know.
So that was a cute little story, but I hope that nobody has kids dressed in a furry animal costume today, because it's going to be quite hot, quite steamy for a Halloween. Lovely to be out trick or treating. As this Halloween day, we're looking at 82 degrees for your high. And then even tomorrow, it's really a beautiful week, sunshine. We will have tomorrow morning a little bit of rain, a little bit, nothing measurable for another week, I will point out. So enjoy it. We're 57 degrees right now, and it's a little foggy out there. But yeah, for your Friday, 78 degrees and sunny. The weekend, 62 degrees. I'm just going to point out to you, here's the weird thing. And by the way, remember the clocks to turn, fall back your clocks.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah, it's this weekend.
Oh, God, I hate that day. Oh, I hate it.
So, and then next week, though, we're still heating up to, by midweek next week, we're still in the mid-70s to next Wednesday is 78 degrees.
Right.
So it's, you know, we're coming into November here and still this warm weather. The measurable rain looks like next Thursday, so keep watering that lawn. We are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group. Unleash the all-new Acura ZDX for $389 a month, 27 months, including $4,000 loyalty Conquest offers, plus complimentary charging bundles. So visit Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, or Westchester. Shop PiazzaAcura.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Your calls at, let me start with Gary. He's in Monmouth County, New Jersey, and he's on Talk Radio 1210. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Nick. Breaking news here is you just accused Joe Biden of being a furry.
That's true. I mean, she was dressed up as a panda. Yep. That is the definition of furry. A furry.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, hey. So, to touch on what Greg said earlier about this being Kamala's sister soldier moment, the big difference in that is Bill Clinton didn't spend the week prior blasting his opponent as being an awful white guy, where Kamala just spent a week blasting Trump as being a Hitler and a Nazi and a fascist,
yep,
which basically blasts all his followers.
That's correct.
First of all, I didn't say it was her sister stole her moment. I was reading from an article by Colby Hall in Mediate. He said it, not me.
I understand that. You touched on that. That's what I was saying there.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference in the two.
Yeah, and Gary, and that's what I said in the big take this morning. You can't sit there and try to say for 2 weeks in your closing argument that Trump is Hitler and then all of a sudden try to distance yourself from a comment like garbage. Now, in theory, being honest, you can, because Joe said it, Kamala didn't say it, but we know what Kamala thinks of Trump-supporting Republicans, right? It's as clear as day. It's the same tired, stale playbook of the last 8 or 9 years. So I'm with you, Gary. And the difference, too, is in that clip that I played of Morning Joe that then morphed into CNN and the other networks, they're talking about how Kamala distanced herself, and Joe also in the White House are saying, well, it was actually out of context, and they say that Trump never apologized. Trump doesn't have to apologize. Trump didn't say it. Trump didn't make the joke. The comedian made the joke. And we talked about that yesterday as well. Let me get quickly Ed in Del Ran, who says he'd like to ride on the Trump trash truck. Eddie.
Woo.
Oh, absolutely I would. And let me tell you what. I named Joe Bite Me perfect, because
he's biting little kids' feet. So I everything this guy does comes back to bite you, you know.
The bigger question is, what are you biting on right now? Sounds like you're eating. What are you chomping?
Oh, I am. I was eating breakfast while I was on hold with you. I didn't even finish it yet. Good, let me tell you.
Yeah, what are you having? That's what the people really care about.
Oh, I had eggs, scrambled eggs, soft, deep-fried home fries.
Oh, nice.
Some rye toast.
Yeah, okay.
Because you guys are always doing your most, should I boast?
Brother, I got to run. I'm late for a break. It was good to see you last Friday for the first time.
Awesome it was. I had a great time.
Thank you for coming. There he is, Ed, in Delran, and he's also going to take a Lipitor after breakfast as well. All right, we'll come back. We got to get to a little hors d'oeuvre, a little appetizer of the cut sheet. Our boy Sean Farish is being silenced on radio and television in Nashville. And I know both of these media outlets specifically because I worked in the building and I appeared on one before when I was in Tennessee, and I'm actually shocked that they would do this. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We're off to paradise once again, the Italian Riviera, this time on a gastronomical event that only conservative tours can deliver. Join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours, the best tour operator in Italy. Trust me on this one. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre, $53.78, and yes, that includes your airfare, $53.78, dining events at wineries in Tuscany. And we're going to toast Romina and Lorenzo, our friends, visiting an authentic farm to see how Parmesan cheese is crafted by hand. Just call toll-free 888-733-9494. I would recommend you go to conservativetours.com, conservativetours.com. Scroll down, you see my name, my picture, and the full itinerary, a lot of pictures of these beautiful places, hidden Italian villages that you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, yes, Michelangelo's Florence, Milan. And then we will conclude on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella, yes, Cinque Terre. Yes, I'll see you there. ConservativeTours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Great month for Kale and Company. Another phenomenal October. Can't give you too many specifics, but some are saying it's the best of the era.
Well, I mean, I can. You know, you don't have to, but I can. It's the, you know, We always go year over year. That's, you know, that's what they say in the biz. But it's not fair to go back to October of 2023 because it's a non-election year. We have more listeners during election year, so you have to go back to election year. So we went back to 2020, 2016, and 2012. That's as far back as I can go. 2009 is about as far back as I can go. And it's the best October for an election year that we've ever had. By the way, guys, another good month amongst all adults. So thank you to the Kale and Company audience. Thank you, everybody. You know, we try really hard. We do this job, and it is we wake up at the...
The crack of dawn.
The butt crack of dawn.
Yes.
And, you know, we really put our heart and souls into the show, and we really appreciate it. So thank you, everybody, for rewarding us with loyalty.
Yeah, with your time spent listening.
Thank you.
I saw the ratings email yesterday. I was like Tim Walz coming out at a rally. I was clapping. I was going like my arms were gyrating. I was like Ellen DeGeneres or Richard freaking Simmons. So I was very happy with that. Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody that contributes on this show, whether it's on a daily basis or with weekly appearances. The Sean Farishes of the world, the Tony Brunos of the world, Esty, who will be joining us at 8:45. Also, by the way, speaking of unbelievable responses, we are actually getting phone calls like at our receptionist desk for our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight program, where this time we are asking you to nominate a local World War II veteran to be featured on the show the week of November 11th. The receptionist probably can't do a whole heck of a lot with that.
Yeah.
So like, go to the website like we've been asking you to do.
Yeah, Skylar is our lovely receptionist, and I saw her in the elevator yesterday, and she goes, "Are you guys doing some sort of contest or something?" And I said, "Yeah, it's not really a contest, but we're having listeners nominate World War II veterans for Veterans Day week for our veteran spotlight, courtesy of Window Nation." And she goes, they're all calling me. So we appreciate it. But just go to 1210WPHT.com. All the information is there. 1210WPHT.com. All the information is there. But thank you for everybody who's taking time to do this.
Yes. Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, nurses, service pilots, medical staff, anybody that would qualify for World War II, 1210WPHT.com. It's all brought to you by Window Nation. For all of your window and door needs, visit windownation.com. All right, so let's get to some Southern censorship, shall we? As our buddy Sean Farish apparently was asked by a Tennessee retailer called DT McCall and Sons to endorse their company and do a 30-second television and radio ad. So according to the Tennessee Star, which I would say is like the New York Post to the New York Times, the Tennessee Star is, you know, kind of the right version of the mainstream paper in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. I forget what they call it, but it's owned by the USA Today. So there's a, you know, you have all these radio companies, right? Odyssey, you have iHeart, you have Cumulus, and the Cumulus cluster is a group of stations that has sports. It's actually a lot like Odyssey here in Philadelphia. They have a big-time sports station called 104.5 The Zone, and they have a version of what we do here on Talk Radio 1210. It's called Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
Yeah, so they're on FM.
So they're yeah, they're on FM.
Sorry.
One more time. Yeah, they're on FM.
Sorry. Yeah. Clear my throat.
And also in Nashville, the equivalent of CBS 3 Philadelphia is News Channel 5, which is the CBS affiliate in Middle Tennessee and Nashville. And I used to appear on Fridays for a college football segment on that channel. So I'm a little surprised that this is playing out the way it is, where Cumulus Media, as well as News Channel 5, are refusing to air the Trump-inspired ads for Tennessee retailer DT McCall's. We're going to give you some of the details in a moment, but I do want to play you this clip. This is actually, the television ad, and it's our boy Sean Farish doing his Trump impersonation promoting this business, right? So take a listen and watch this clip.
My fellow Americans, I was this close to wasting $200 on hidden charges at the lumber yards. These are sick people. Until I saw this beautiful ad from my friends at DT McCall's. They're great. They're not going to charge you for any of your hoses or cords or haulaways. The lumber yards are going to rip you off. How the hell are you supposed to use a dryer without a cord? Nobody's ever seen anything like it. Go visit my friends at DT McCall's and stop the hidden charges on day one, believe me.
How great is that? I mean, that's hysterical. Yeah. I have no idea if Sean's compensated for that, whatever it is.
He definitely is.
I would hope so, because it was damn good. Yeah. But A.J. McCall is the owner of the Tennessee Appliance Company, and he told the Tennessee Star on Monday that Cumulus Media, the radio company, declined to run the commercials on its Nashville radio station, even after McCall had the ads modified to include a disclaimer clarifying that Trump did not personally lend his voice to his company for the ads. Quote, I found a Trump impersonator that sounds really exactly like Trump. He made some ads for us. Cumulus will not run them. We put a disclaimer at the end. Cumulus still will not run them. And this also played out with News Channel 5. Now, I mean, I don't know what the disclaimer sounds like, but I mean, put it in the beginning, put it at the end. This in no way has the endorsement of Donald Trump has nothing to do with the Trump campaign, has nothing to do with MAGA Inc. This is an impersonator. Put whatever type of, you know, because obviously when we play you the ad, the TV ad, you can see that's not Donald Trump. Now, you might think that because Sean's so stinking good at doing it. Sean actually does Trump better than Trump does Trump, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
But now, you know, if you play the ad on the radio, maybe it's a little confusing, but if you put disclaimer, why would you reject that? Now, I don't know
because
what
they don't
the
want
laws...
to get sued. They don't want to get sued. I mean, like,
but doesn't the disclaimer protect you from a suit?
No, because what they're saying is that if you're listening to that, obviously if you're watching it, it's not Trump. But like, if you're listening to it on radio, you could think that Trump is endorsing this furniture company.
All you have to do is go, This is a Trump impersonator, and like speed it up.
The following is parody only.
Yes. Yeah. And this is a Trump impersonator. Like they speed it up.
Right.
Impersonator.
Yes.
That's all you have to do. They're doing this because it's good, and they're using a Trump impersonator, and they don't want to And they don't want to promote Trump.
You see a conspiracy around every corner.
Well, but here's the worst part of this. This is Super Talk 99.7 is the same format we do. So this is not like an ad that's running on mainstream. Well, the TV would be mainstream media, but this is a conservative talk station. It's a blowtorch station. I'm surprised that Cumulus, and I don't want to get into the weeds with other companies, but like
I can guarantee you we probably wouldn't run a commercial like that either here.
So if we were to if we took that
you
exact...
You can't use somebody's voice.
What about Joe Conklin? They air Conklin commercials all the time.
Yes.
And he does really good.
He's promoting him. He's promoting himself.
It doesn't matter.
You're basically saying that Donald Trump does this,
for DT McCall's.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So they're just looking out for...
Well, okay, so I'm genuinely asking because I don't know the answer. Has Conklin ever used a voice to promote a business that aired on WIP?
What?
Or?
Yes, he's done commercials with stuff.
You know that for a fact, Don?
Let's look it up. Absolutely.
Play the tape.
I just always thought that, and we hear these all the time, right? Like, there's disclaimers at the end of a FanDuel read. There's disclaimers at certain lotteries and things like that. I thought the whole point, and again, what do I know? I went to law school for 88 days. So I don't know everything by all means. But I thought the disclaimer was the point of the disclaimer is to protect you from liability and a lawsuit.
You
right?
could even do it before and after. You go, the following is impersonator Sean Farish.
Yeah.
And Nashville Zone.
And I'm also surprised too, and how hard would this be? Especially considering Farish has a relationship with the Trump campaign. You just go to the Trump campaign and say, hey, I'm doing this. And it's not like you need Donald Trump's approval. You just run it by one of his handlers. And I'm sure they look at their legal team and they say yes or no. How hard is that?
They don't have to do that because he's an impersonator. All they have to do is do a disclaimer. The following is an impersonator hired by blah, blah, blah company.
Look, I'm not, I'm the biggest Sean Farish fan around. So, there's nothing against...
No,
I love his impression. Right, we have him on every week.
But you're thinking it from a corporate side.
I'm just telling you from the corporate side what they're thinking. I'm not saying I agree with it either. Yeah. I'm just telling you that they're looking out for it as they don't want to be sued for copyright infringement of
the Trump brand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I mean,
Make America Great Again brand.
It's nothing against Trump. I just believe that they were like, well, we don't want to take a chance because Sean sounds exactly like...
Oh, yeah. And I can totally envision these meetings in the conference room where they weigh the pros and the cons and they punt on it. I understand what you're saying.
Friday, Sean told us about a different company that that they had to put a disclaimer because he said it was such a big compliment to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's why I think there's more to it. And I think that what it is that it's a really cute impersonation and a cute idea that is positive for the real President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, Cumulus doesn't like that.
Right.
That's what I really believe.
Lastly, if you're on YouTube, stay tuned for this. I think we had the video. We can play this for you maybe in the cut sheet, but we'll just do it as a graphic, as a tease. So 16ABC, WNEP, is the ABC affiliate, I believe, in central Pennsylvania. I think it may be from Williamsport down to south central Pennsylvania. Relatively a big affiliate, not like 6ABC. But apparently, they mistakenly aired. And Sean, you can throw Phil, you can throw up the graphic now. If you look at the bottom, we call that the crawl, the scroll, the ticker, the bottom line, where news. You see these a lot of times on sports channels where the scores scroll across. So during a Formula One race, and remember this, folks. Kamala Harris, when she told us what she's about, she has Glocks. She is a big fan of Formula One racing, and she likes vinyl records. Remember that? So the election results for Pennsylvania scrolled across the bottom during a Formula One race. And you might say, well, what do you mean the election results? The election hasn't come and gone yet. So ABC had to then come out and say it was a mistake as they were testing the technology during the Formula One race. And they show, for those that are not watching... you have the blue D and the red R, and you have Harris on top, Trump on the bottom. They have Harris, and they say this is just a simulation. Harris winning Pennsylvania by 5 points. 52% to 47%, with 100% reporting. Harris, 3.29 million votes in PA. Trump, 2.99 million votes in Pennsylvania. I just wanted to pass, a lot of people saw this yesterday on social media and were wondering how that could actually be a mistake, why that would come across a live telecast, why are you testing things like that? And, oh, by the way, why are you just automatically doing a random sample where Kamala wins by four? Why couldn't it have been Trump by three?
They have it on their page that these test results for the upcoming November 5th election mistakenly appeared.
Yeah.
On the, this was early Sunday evening during a broadcast Formula One Mexico Grand Prix. Those numbers should not have appeared, they say, on the screen.
That's
and it was an error by WNEP.
Just like the affidavit, not the affidavit, it's just like the indictment that went out in Fulton County. Remember when, that's just the mock template, right? Yeah. Remember
they were randomly generated test results, Nick.
Yeah.
Random.
Random.
Just random.
This was, and they also did McCormick and Casey, right?
Oh, did they?
And they put McCormick winning.
No.
Yeah. I believe I saw that.
And that's the, isn't that the scenario that you threw out that you could see happening?
Wasn't that in the video? Wasn't that in the video you sent last night?
I have not actually watched the video. I want to react to it in real time on the cut sheet. And maybe we could play that when we come back and we get the cut sheet started around 7:58.
WNEP regrets the error and apologizes for any confusion. We have taken steps to ensure it does not happen again. So they apologize for any confusion.
Oh,
they should apologize for screwing up.
Yeah. Just remember, just keep those numbers. When we play it again, write those numbers down and let's compare those numbers to the actual real results on election night once a Pennsylvania is officially called.
That's embarrassing.
We'll do a little, see how accurate that little simulation actually is.
Yeah, I think we have the video. We can play it next. And I think they had McCormick winning too, but I think that.
Okay.
I don't know. This whole thing is just, it's, you're right.
It's a bad look, right?
I don't trust it. I think it's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Kale and Company, what's on the cut sheet is coming up next.
But first, and the NBA is back in FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sports book. Wants you to catch all the action right now. FanDuel's giving everyone, that's right, everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip off and buzzer beater and place a $5 bet on the NBA and get 3 months of the NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more this season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT, 21 and over, present at PA. After 3 month free trial, the full length, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime, no refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Time for a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease a 2024 C40 for only $329 per month on a 36-month lease. See store for details. They always go the extra mile for their customers because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. All right, we started out this morning playing Donald Trump on a garbage truck. He went to his Green Bay, Wisconsin rally in a garbage truck. By the way, it was funny to see CNN like breaking news.
Yeah, and they tried to analyze the whole situation.
Just like it's so funny to me. All of these networks are just like. He's so bad for democracy.
Yeah.
He's going to kill democracy, yet let's go to him with everything he does.
They take his bait, hook, line, and sinker.
By the way,
I have one of those vests I almost wore to work today. How many people will trick-or-treat with that?
My God.
By the way, we'll get to that, because Jake Tapper interviewed Seth Meyers and asked him about, wouldn't Trump be great for your ratings?
The Seth Meyers, like late-night Seth Meyers. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's start. Phil, can you start with cut nine? So this is when Wolf Blitzer was in the middle of a
situation room.
Yeah, and he goes, "Let's break into this." And
we have breaking news.
Yeah, they went to Donald Trump in a garbage truck.
This is great.
completely trolling the media. It's amazing. Cut nine, Phil. Go.
Close contact with the military to be used. Military or active guard to be used on I don't think they'll have to be used. I think we're going to have a big victory. And I think 250 million people in this country are going to be very happy because we're going to bring the country back. We're a nation in decline, very, very serious decline. And we're going to bring our country back.
Did you know that Elon Musk was in contact with President Bush? Did you know about Elon Musk at all?
No, I don't know. Elon is a great guy. He's one of our geniuses, and we have to protect our geniuses.
I love that they're asking him serious questions.
Yes.
Wait, he's in a garbage truck with an orange vest.
I love Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico loves me. I don't know anything about a comedian. I love Puerto Rico. Nobody's done more for Puerto Rico than me. I took care of them when they had the big hurricanes, and nobody gets along better with Puerto Rico and the Puerto Rican people than me. They love me, and I love them. So, I don't know anything about the comedian. I don't know who he is. I've never seen him. I heard he made a statement, but it was just a statement that he made. He's a comedian. What can I tell you? I know nothing about him. I don't know why he's there. You put comedians up, and I guess he went on early in the show. I don't know who he is. I don't know, but I think he's a terrific guy. I think he was treated very unfairly.
Mr. President, you've been talking about Democrats chasing. Could you imagine any circumstances under which you would be defeated but not say that the election was stolen?
If it was a corrupt election, that could happen. But so far, we're doing pretty well. They found a lot of smaller things in Pennsylvania, as you know, and I think they've been corrupted and taken care of. They were corrupt. They were corrupted, but I think it's been taken care of.
On that subject, you called for law enforcement to investigate. I was going to say, do you anticipate to declare victory on election night?
I hope that we're going to declare a victory. I mean, they spend all that money on machines. Paper ballots cost you 8% of what a machine
costs. He's still in a garbage truck, by the way.
Yeah. It's encrypted paper. It's watermarked paper. It's very secure. Your elections would be over at 10 o'clock, and that's when you could announce something, and there would be no question. And we're not talking about more money. We're talking about a tiny fraction of the money. You want paper, ideally. You want one-day voting. And I think it's just very important. You have to have the country, and you have to have voter ID, and you have a great election. And you're talking about 8% of the cost. It's like very sad when you get machines, you pay all that money, and they talk about 3 days later. I think we're going to have a big enough victory to maybe have it that night. You should always have it, Bill. You know, every night, if you look at France, 38 million votes. At 10 o'clock in the evening, it was over. All paper ballots, all voter ID, one-day voting, and it was over. How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
It's the nicest dump truck I've ever seen.
There we go.
I mean, his arm is literally hanging out. It's like he's at the gas station getting the fill up, talking to the guy pumping his gas. Again, another first of all, another idea that the Harris campaign would never come up with. And secondly, another, what is it? I very rarely do I get sidetracked, but behind Dawn Studio is the music station, and the morning host is, I don't know, he's dancing and shaking and jiving. I just totally lost my train of thought seeing Bennett dancing.
Dance for me.
We might have to put like a little curtain up there. We got to block him out. I don't need to see him. Now he's like twerking. What is he doing back there? By the way, is he wearing a Trump wig? Is that
no,
a Trump wig?
No, I'm not like he's Einstein.
Einstein. All right. Well, Einstein, I'm trying to do a show. So, yeah, maybe you sit down in your seat. So as I was saying, Kamala could never actually pull off that conversation, right?
Like, that's just it.
She would never be able to thrive in that setting.
That's just it, that it's the look. And so there he is. He's got his arm comfortable. If you've ever had a conversation with your sanitation worker, the driver,
right?
Like, or the
like
guy
goes around the
riding shotgun, which, you know, you bring the envelope, right? Yep. And what do? How you doing? How's the... And there he is with his arm up on the open window. He's relaxed. He's chatting. He looks so comfortable. He looks like the garbage man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the vest on, the whole thing. And so it's the fact that, to your point, Nick, that he's comfortable in his own skin and he's comfortable working in McDonald's. He's comfortable doing these jobs. So what is he doing? He's respecting you in these jobs. If you, this is your job or like that, and right now we got union workers, what, 9,000 just authorized a strike vote. You feel like, you know what? He respects. He's like honoring. He's honoring the sanitation workers. He's honoring the McDonald's workers. He's respecting these people and just sitting there having a chat. But the other piece of it is when he says, who have you heard say that the paper ballots and they're watermarked and they cost 8% of what we, the taxpayers, pay for these machines that we do hear all kinds of issues with? And we hear about complications, this and that. And he's saying, why not just simplify the thing, use the paper, and it costs you 8% off of, you know, 8% compared to the 92% plus that you're paying when you're just hyping up the cost. Why not simplify it?
You're right.
You never hear that.
And on that front, and I don't know the answer to this, if somebody in the audience does know, is there the power? I mean, who? So let's say you wanted universal one-day voting, voter ID, citizenship, you know, status of citizenship proof, and paper ballots. Is this something that the president can, you know?
No.
Is this something the Supreme Court can do, or is there just no way to ever make this a universal thing where all 50 states have to adopt it?
I don't
know that answer, and maybe I should, but I don't.
I think that that would be challenged by the states' rights issue, because I just think overall, when you do have problems with things I think the states, the governors, the local authorities want a simplified process.
Right.
And so my hope is that over time that they do look at this and say, let's just simplify it.
Well, if everybody wants, you know, free and fair and simple and fast and secure elections, why would you be opposed to that? It's the same thing. Gallup, again, released a poll yesterday where 83% of Americans believe voter ID is necessary. I want to talk to the 17% that don't. Why would you not require ID? You need ID for everything. To buy a drink, to play the lottery, to go to a casino, to get a tattoo. Yet voting for an election in some states, and there's a graphic going around, you can see it. It's like, you know, gray states, blue states, red states, and it tells you which one means what. Pennsylvania is a gray state from the standpoint of you need no identification to vote. That is outlandish.
What are you saying?
You don't need any identification to vote on election day in Pennsylvania.
If this is the second time or more that you voted.
Right.
So the first time you vote, you do need the ID.
Right.
But after that,
right.
you
like,
don't.
Like when my perfect firsthand example was 2 years ago for the primaries in the fall of 2022. I go there. I say my name. Lady looks down. She's got her packet, her pen. She scratches my name off. I pull out my driver's license. And don't worry about it, Mr. Kale. We got you. And I'm like, no.
Second time you voted?
Third.
Third, yeah.
Yeah. But see, like, I wanted to show her. Like, I'm going to prove you who I am.
But they look at your signature.
You didn't play the don't you know who I am card?
No. That's what sports radio hosts do with cab drivers. No, well, I just wanted to prove.
There's some anchor people who've done that too while being arrested. in charge.
I've got a lot of bullets in the chamber today, folks.
He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No, I set you up for that, my love.
So, but in Pennsylvania, you know, I will say that that's an interesting thought. So you think that in PA, even after you voted the first time and presumably your people at your local polling place know you and they do check the signature, you still think
anytime you vote in any election, you should have to have proof of who you are.
I agree.
I do. It's not racist. I want to confirm your identity.
I think that's almost universal, guys. I think it's liberal politicians that don't want it. I don't hear a lot of people saying, right, liberal or conservative, say, no, I think that we should just be able to, no ID required. Mm-hmm. It's the liberal politicians that,
when we were living in Tennessee and my mother-in-law would come down for vacation, you know, we'd go out to a restaurant
And these bars and restaurants, they would card my mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And they do that because of, you know, liability and things. So I understand why they do it. But it's you're really going to card a 64-year-old lady who's getting a Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, they do it at Acme. Yeah, every grocery store.
I was just going to say that. Every grocery store, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You cannot buy alcohol. It doesn't matter how old you are without them for scanning your ID.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you're Jim Kenney, the former mayor where nobody's seen him, and you're getting your Prosecco at an Acme in Montgomery County.
By the way, Acme needs to, they need to condense a little bit. Like, they only have like one or two aisles that you can go through for booze. Like, let's make every one of them able to go down for booze.
Well, yeah. I mean, Giant's a pain in the butt because you have to purchase it in the back at the little kiosk by the deli and then get the rest of your groceries checked out up front. Now, they'll cut you a break if you grab, like, you know, a six-pack of beer and you have, like, three other items, like a bag of chips and, you know, guacamole or something. They'll let you scan those, too. But if you have a full cart, you got to buy the booze, get the receipt, put it in the cart, and then go up front. Yep. It's just a pain in the butt.
All right, let's. So Vivek also, I'll get back to the Trump rally in 1 second, because then he took the stage in Green Bay, Wisconsin, wearing his orange vest. Vivek was also on the back of a garbage truck, but he was actually like putting garbage
in
it.
He took my idea to the umpteenth degree.
Phil, can you play cut six? I think it is here. Six. Nick, if you want to describe this.
Yes, this actually looks like an authentic garbage truck.
All right.
Yep. Some company.
Let's do it, man.
This guy.
I got it.
Oh, he's got the big can. That's the high quality can right there.
Yeah.
That's the elitist garbage can.
Right up to here.
That's what most municipalities do now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I have the middle class trash can.
Wait, is it on? All right, sweet. Lift open. And then what are we doing?
Pull them both out.
Pull them both out.
There you go. Look at this. There it is. Look at this.
Look at Vivek.
Pull this one back too, or are you good?
Oh, there you go.
Sweet.
There's out the space.
By the way, look at the skill that goes into this.
I know.
It kind of works.
I would hurt myself.
Disgusting trash.
I know.
Should I pull it? Pull it out?
A lot of respect for people that could do this. Look at that. Boom. There it is. That's how they threw the shredder in there in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
All right, man.
Which is what my son is, Raphael, at school today.
Always my favorite turtle.
It's pretty good. Yes. The machinery's good. It's good machinery. I mean, it's like...
You didn't even have to use the bat once.
No, I know, exactly.
So how much you want to bet, Vivek, or...
It's a...
So he's doing
the machine works really well, man.
Automate.
Let's get some more.
Yeah, there he is, Vivek and Luke Combs.
So how much you want to bet Vivek or Elon, they invent, like, something that works quicker or something?
I know. What a great idea. I mean, they should get Bobby out there. Bobby could throw in some, like, deer carcasses or some bears.
So,
get Tulsi out there.
It's not a panda bear.
Tulsi would be the hottest trash lady of all time.
Yes.
Yeah, baby.
They're on the transition team.
Yeah, we're on the trash tour. It's the Trump closing argument trash tour. That's what I would do.
Trash.
That's right. I you know what, Matt? You know what would be really great, too, is, like, I think the biggest trash company that I know brand-wise is Waste Management. You know, the big green and yellow company. It would be wild if Waste Management came out and just endorsed Donald Trump right now.
Who wrote that? That is Wendy. Wendy writes, you have to show who you are when you enter Costco. Why not vote?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Another good point. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
I don't shop at Costco, so I don't know.
But. Well, you don't?
No.
Oh.
Why? Is it like Walmart for you? You just been
No,
this?
I know. Stop.
But when you rent a bicycle...
There's only three of us. I don't need a whole ton of stuff. You know what I mean?
That's true.
One's a four-year-old who only eats chicken nuggets.
He'll be there soon. You know, when you rent a bicycle in Philadelphia, like you want to go on Kelly Drive by the Art Museum area... You have to show your driver's license,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be a valid driver's license in the city of Philadelphia to rent a freaking bicycle.
I got to show ID to pick up my daughters early from school.
Well, that's good,
and it's good. Yeah. Yes, I'm not complaining about it, but we're talking about electing our public servants.
I know.
Can we take it seriously?
Thank you.
My God,
it's unbelievable.
But Vivek. My husband had a great idea yesterday because we were talking about who's going to take what post. Kristi Noem, you know, she'll have the Department of Agriculture. But what about Vivek as press secretary? Just please, please, just even for a week.
Yeah. Wow. You guys are already filling
out the cabinet.
Filling the cabinet, huh?
Yeah.
I'm very confident.
All right.
I mean, Vivek would never, that's not what he would do.
Beneath him. But he'd be great at it, right?
Oh my gosh. He would just, because he's so brilliant and he's so quick, and he'd be like, blah, 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 you know, and just destroy these people.
Don't filling out cabinet positions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's already
Christy
ready.
Christy Noem, yep. Department of Ag. Mm-hmm. Doug Burgum, of course, Energy Department.
Okay.
Who's Secretary of State? Right, we have to look at that.
8/11.
By the way, your boy going as Raphael, is that because he's the red turtle? Is that a political message?
Because
Leonardo's blue, that would mean he's a Democrat.
Well, all the seniors they chose, because they always choose a theme, and then the football team, you know, they do like the photo. And it's
yeah.
So the seniors are all Raphael. So they're the red.
Okay.
So first-time voters.
Yep.
Okay. I'm saying maybe that's could it be an endorsement? I hope so.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Then Donald Trump took the stage in Green Bay, Wisconsin, wearing his trash truck safety vest. This is cut 10, Phil. Go.
I have to begin by saying 250 million Americans are not garbage.
Listen to that crowd.
This week, Kamala has been comparing her political opponents to the most evil mass murderers in history. And now, speaking on a call for her campaign last night, Crooked Joe Biden finally said what he and Kamala really think of our supporters. He called them garbage. No way. No way. And they actually mean it, even though without question, my supporters are far higher quality than Crooked Joe or Lion Kamala. Higher quality. My response to Joe and Kamala is very simple. You can't lead America if you don't love Americans. That's true. You can't be president if you hate the American people, which I believe they do.
There you go. And a lot of people took those nine words and said that is a closing argument that maybe if Trump wins, people will be playing those clips and those sound bites. If you don't love, you can't lead America if you don't love Americans, or whatever he just said specifically there.
You can't lead if you don't love the American people.
Yeah. And you know what? You can sit there and say, yep, Trump goes after other politicians, sometimes on his own side of the aisle, on the Republican Party. He goes after the media. He goes after the establishment. He calls Joe this. He calls Hillary that. To my knowledge, he has never badmouthed Democrat voters, meaning the Democrat citizens of this country, which...
No, because he wants their vote.
Yeah.
He needs their vote.
I mean, he used to be one.
Yep.
So, you know.
His... Here's the thing that he makes this look easy, but just pointing out what he said. Vice President Kamala Harris referring to her political opponents as the most evil mass murderers in history. Is that the exact? I was just trying to.
Yeah.
So it was that is a brilliant line. So I don't know if somebody pointed that out to him. So he's not making it personal. He's saying, look at how this vice president of the country is referring to her political opponents as the most evil mass murderers in history. It's a great way to word that. And yet it just rolls off and it seems very conversational.
Mm-hmm.
But his words here are very powerful.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
He then says something that he says, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. Trump vows to keep saying lines that his aides told him not to say. Cut 11, Phil, go.
And my people told me about 4 weeks ago, I was saying, no, I want to protect the people. I want to protect the women of our country. I want to protect the women. Sir, please don't say that. Why? They said, we think it's very inappropriate for you to say. I said, why? I'm president. I want to protect the women of our country. They said... They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to protect them from migrants coming in. I'm going to protect them from foreign countries that want to hit us with missiles and lots of other things.
So I'm a little confused by what exactly he was advised not to do that was so bad that he defied and did anyway.
So what he does, what he does next is he says, so let me ask you to the women here.
Okay.
Do you want, you know, your president or do you want your president or your country to protect you? And they all go crazy and they say yes and they all cheer. And so what he's saying is the quote is, I want to protect the women from these killers being let out of prisons and so on and so forth, and the rapists.
Basically the Lake and Riley concept.
Yeah, well, and Ungaro, because it follows, he's been airing the ads or put together little packages that, because all of these victims, mothers in particular, have been campaigning with him and speaking out, endorsing him.
Well, it's
so it followed that, just so you know the context, it followed that. Then he comes out and says, I want to protect them. I want to protect the mothers. I want to protect the girls. My guys told me not to say it. I want to protect women.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it.
Well, I mean, that's, and I've said that for months, that the counter strategy for the Trump campaign to Roe v. Wade, abortion, and Kamala's message to females is protecting them from migrant rapists and killers, and also protecting them in sports locker rooms and bathrooms with Title IX, where biological men have no place being in those female safe spaces. So those are your two counter arguments to Roe v. Wade when we talk about the female voter out there. And it's up to them. And I think they've done a pretty decent job. You probably could do more with that. But, I'm on board with that.
How did the CBS Evening News, or should I say the mainstream media, cover the garbage truck thing yesterday and Kamala's closing message? So hat tip to Road Warrior for sending this to me. Thank you, my friend. I take requests, even though I didn't get to Chris Abolito's request yesterday.
And by the way, we've
just
also
have, put it in the hopper.
Yeah, our buddy Harry is a big cut sheet contributor.
He is.
And he's wondering when you're going to play some lady a clip a couple of days ago. We lose track because Harry's a big cut sheet contributor.
He is.
Yeah, we might have to put him on payroll. And he's like, has Stalker played this clip yet? I'm like, I don't think so.
Sorry, we're full.
No vacancies.
No vacancy at the end. No, Harry knows I love him. Okay, so this is CBS Evening News. This is how Nora O'Donnell compared the two last night. This is cut 16. Phil, go.
We are now 6 days out from Election Day. Nearly 60 million votes have already been cast in early in-person voting and through the mail. And the latest polls suggest the race could not be tighter. Both campaigns are locking their focus on the battleground states. Vice President Kamala Harris rallied in North Carolina and Pennsylvania today and is in Wisconsin tonight. Former President Donald Trump was in North Carolina earlier and tonight is also in Wisconsin. He landed in Green Bay just a short time ago and then pulled this campaign stunt, speaking to reporters from a garbage truck, proof that he and his supporters are giving no grace to a gaffe by President Biden, where he, in his explanation, inadvertently called Trump supporters garbage. This, of course, was in response to that racist joke about floating garbage told at a Trump rally just last weekend. Vice President Harris is distancing herself from the negativity and trying to drive home her unifying message that if elected, she will represent all Americans.
So Trump pulled the stunt while Kamala Harris is trying to drive home her unifying message.
Yeah. You're nothing like uniting America by saying half of America are Nazis and they worship Hitler. That didn't even have a slant to it, Dawn. That was like a slope. There was more slope on that than the roof in Butler on July 13th that the Secret Service wouldn't climb on. Oh, my God. Yeah. Wait, Nora O'Donnell's a very unlikable lady, is she not?
Well, do you blame, so does she write that copy? So she is taking the fall. She's being demoted, right? She's being demoted. This is the end of her contract.
Hmm.
And so she is being demoted. Their ratings are at the bottom of the barrel.
Unlike ours.
But I would submit to you that it's not fully her fault, although could she fight the way that's written?
Yeah, well, get in earlier and then don't let your producers do everything for you and you come up with it yourself. I don't know. That's the way I would look at it. Like if I asked Phil write my big take and I didn't like it, well, whose fault is that?
right, let Phil write it.
Well, I can tell you, because I worked at CBS News Network, that they don't let you, you know, there's a pushback on that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you're just a puppet then?
Well, if you are changing it,
okay,
then you're going to get pushback and it's going to be a huge thing. So she does not have that kind of autonomy.
Mm.
I can tell you that.
Is that this? Now, let me ask you this. Maybe you don't know the answer, but is that the same way for like CNN, Fox and MSNBC?
I think it's less so at all of those other networks that you mentioned.
Okay.
I would say CBS is more so controlling of that kind of spin.
Yeah.
And it's the culture. It's a newsroom culture at most newsrooms, but in particular at that network.
Man, I'm a capitalist. So, I like money, but I don't know that I could do that, even for Nora O'Donnell money. I would even if it was right wing television. I got to put my own spin on it. I just can't read stuff that's not me or that I don't believe.
Pollster Frank Luntz and his bad hair.
Yeah,
Cut 14 Phil says that President Biden may have lost Kamala Harris the election by his garbage comment. He said this to CNN yesterday. This is Cut 14 Phil. Go.
His comments, seemingly describing Trump supporters as, quote, garbage. The Harris campaign is trying to downplay the effect of those comments. Of course they are. But I wonder if you think that those comments are going to move voters.
It's going to be huge, because this is not some comedian saying something stupid and offensive at a rally where he should have been basically disinvited. This is the president of the United States endorsing his vice president saying something. And I know that there's different interpretations about what he said. It's still inappropriate. You still shouldn't be doing it. And I've watched Trump already seize this. The basket of deplorables was significant, was meaningful in 2016. In 2024, I can promise you that this is going to drive Trump turnout. He's doing it already. I can see, I'm sure there's going to be ads on as soon as tonight about this. Mm-hmm. This may be a turning point for those final 3%, and that's all it is, who still need to be persuaded.
So, agree and disagree. If he's saying more Trump turnout will result in those comments, okay, I mean, I can get behind that. I can't imagine that you're a Trump supporter, you are not going to vote, and now all of a sudden you are going to vote. But in the name of consistency, I don't think the undecided was swayed by a bad joke. I don't think the undecided gets swayed by a comment like garbage. Because if you're undecided, if you don't already identify as a MAGA Republican, I don't see that being the final push to get you to make up your mind. Do you? I don't. I think this ignites the base. The same thing the other way around. If you're a Kamala supporter and you think Trump is awful and you hear that joke, it gets your blood going. But I don't know that this, and maybe I don't even believe that there's 3% undecided anymore. I mean, my God, it's 10/31/24. How can you be undecided with 4 days to go, 5 days to go? That doesn't make sense to me. But I don't know. Frank's been doing it longer than I have.
I just think that it's the momentum, and Trump has this ability to, you know, you think about the McDonald's thing going viral. You think about this going viral. And so to those individuals who maybe, I think they were more on the fence about just voting. And so I think that there's this momentum that any campaign gets, that it kind of sweeps people, you know. And so I think that's the kind of momentum within a campaign. If the campaign takes off, you think of, I guess the analogy is, you think about a sports team that just is on fire,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yep.
they're just boom, and you can't. It's like they're just a locomotive. You all of a sudden, all of that momentum, and then everybody gets excited about it. Everybody gets caught up in it. And so the fact that he said that you can't lead this country unless you love this country, you can't lead unless you love Americans. And then he released it on Truth Social as well. So this is his new closing argument, that Harris is running on a campaign of hate,
mm-hmm.
and that he loves America. And so he's turning it as a positive energy campaign. But if this is taking off, and it just it has gone viral.
Yeah, that's a great point by you. Think about this. You know, back in July and August, Kamala was trying to provide the uplifting campaign, right? Joy, hope, change. They're waving, they're laughing, they're giggling. Now, in the last 4 weeks, it's been Trump with the positive vibes, and the Harris campaign has had to resort to the most evil rhetoric possible. Hitler, Nazis, garbage. We've seen Kamala when she gets interrupted. She gets that scowl on her face. They seem to be the side of anger, right? Mm-hmm. And it's her, really. I'll give Walls a pass. Walls hasn't shown a ton of vitriol. He's still, you know, trying to be, you know, the everyman, goofy bumpkin dude, you know, from the Midwest. But it's the top of the ticket that's got that you know, scorned lover look on her face. Very interesting.
By the way, coming up in about 20 minutes, we have Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And she's going to be interviewed by Toe Rogan. yes, make sure you stay tuned for that, because the interview never happened.
Yes.
Between Joe Rogan and the real Kamala Harris. Obviously, we don't have the real Kamala Harris. Joe Rogan on his podcast yesterday explained more about why she is not going to appear on his podcast. By the way, J.D. Vance's, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering when that drops. I'm thinking they're recording it pretty soon.
Cut five. Well, I mean, they have to, right? cut five, Phil, go.
You guys are coming here. I'm like, I love these guys so much. Too bad. It's just, there's nothing going on.
Well, I heard you might have needed to cancel on us to get Kamala Harris on.
I was not going to do that. I would have had to. I knew you guys flew from England, and I wasn't going to cancel on you because she had an opportunity to come. You could look at this and you say, "Oh, you're being a diva." But she had an opportunity to come here when she was in Texas, and I literally gave them an open invitation. I said, "Anytime." I said, "If she's done at 10 o'clock, we'll come back here at 10 o'clock." Mm. I go, "I'll do it at 9 a.m. I'll do it at 10 p.m. I'll do it at midnight. She's up. She wants to, you know, drink a Red Bull and party on."
Yeah, but I think this idea that you're being a diva is silly, because you're asking her, you're offering her the opportunity to do exactly what the other candidate did, right?
Well, she actually reached out when she found out that he was coming on. So their camp reached out to me. So I said, great, I would love to talk to her. Mm. But it was very difficult to tie it down, and a lot of they wanted to travel. And see, the thing is, like, you can't, if I go somewhere, then there's going to be other people in the room. And they want to control a lot of things, I'm sure, according to the Brett Breyer interview on Fox. Like, people were waving him off.
Brett Breyer.
That's a distraction.
I love
people in the room. Like, my whole goal with her and with him is just talk. Just have a conversation like a human being. You find out things about people. You get a sense of them, at least. A real sense. That was it. I don't give a f*** what we talk about. I really don't. Mm. I just want to talk to you.
Rogan's in there. He's got a bottle of wine. He's got a blunt. He's got the creatine powder.
By the way, it is such a baller move to have him say, "No, come to me."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He did it with Trump, too.
Yeah.
He's like, "No, I'm not going to you.
Right.
Come to me.
This guy's making almost $20 million a year to do a podcast. You know, it's, I think, the number two pod. I think Tucker has supplanted him, but he's been number one long enough. And I think the reality is Kamala Harris probably, I think, needs him more than he needs her. It's not going to make or break his platform. And I also would say this, too. You know, when you think about it, and I know that he's not some staunch conservative, but I would imagine the people that listen to the Rogan podcast on a regular basis are far more on the right side of the spectrum, right of center, than the Kamala Harris. I don't think many left-wingers are listening to Rogan, right?
So I think that they're looking at this. I think the Harris campaign is looking at this as their road to victory is 18 to 29-year-old females. Their road to victory is not males. And they've kind of just written that demographic off. Mm-hmm. They think that there's no upside to her doing this, and that's why they're not making this happen. Because if they really wanted to, they would have.
Right. And then you can't sit there and say, well, we can only do an hour. God only knows what they might have said is off limits, and they don't want to be in that freewheeling environment, right? Everything's got to be rigid and structured, and if it's not, She's not doing it.
It's an interesting point because if you really look at who, and I'm a student of this stuff, so I know audiences, I know, you know, demographics, I know all of that stuff. If you really look at Joe Rogan's audience, it's like 40 to 50 year old men. It's guys my age.
Gen Xers.
And they're people that like are into politics a little bit, but not really. They mm-hmm. might vote if it moves them, but they probably won't. And that audience, I believe, is ripe for a Donald Trump because they might vote for Trump, but they might not. You know, something else happens that day, they'll do it. But if they hear him on this and they hear him sitting down with him and BSing with him for 3 hours, like that might move the needle. And if you're getting those people that are choosing the couch over you, and you can motivate them to go out and vote, that's a huge voting block for Donald Trump.
Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch.
That's exactly.
You're going to vote for Trump today,
That's exactly who he's trying to get. Kamala Harris knows that those people aren't going to vote for her.
You know what? And you tell me if you agree with this or not. I would think that the Bobby Kennedy base of supporters are probably big Rogan listeners.
The Bobby Kennedy,
anti-pharma, anti-vax, you know, things like that, right? Because Rogan speculates, and Rogan likes to talk about assassinations and JFK and, you know, 9/11, big pharma, big food. It feels like that would be a Bobby Kennedy wheelhouse.
So, because Greg talked about the demographics of the Joe Rogan experience, I just looked up one. This is Edison Weekly, but there are a bunch of them. And I did because you mentioned men in a certain age group over, what did you say, 39? My sons have listened to Joe Rogan for years. I mean, David just turned 18. All of their friends have listened to Rogan for years. And a ton of my friends, football moms, teachers, Democrats, Republicans, they listen to Rogan.
Well,
it skews 80% male, I'll just tell you that it's...
Dawn, our mutual friend, who I won't name, mm-hmm. She's a huge Joe Rogan fan. In fact, I scold her because I tell her to listen to this show and not Joe Rogan, but she loves Joe Rogan. So I do agree with you on that.
Politically, 35% of listeners identify as independent or something else. 32%, only 32% align with Republicans, 27%. Democrats. And so I do think, I mean, this is the world's number one, you know, podcast in the United States of America, but the listeners are, they say age 13 plus. I would say 13 plus is accurate.
No, I agree with you.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, there's all kinds of data that shows, yeah, it's young men, but I think the bulk of his audience are 40 to 50 men. Mm. And you know, maybe 35 to 50, but like it's older working men. That's the bulk of his audience, and a lot of them are kind of politically neutral or mm-hmm. just kind of vote sometimes, but most of the time don't vote. And that
probably
audience
hate both sides.
That audience is ripe for
probably big with
Trump.
The libertarians, right?
Yeah, I guess
to some extent.
I guess if you call them libertarians, sure.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the libertarian movement is kind of.
I'll be honest. Yeah. I don't know if either of my sons.
I consider myself a libertarian, and I don't even know what they stand for.
But I don't know if either of my sons would vote or most of their friends would even vote or be interested in it if it were not for Joe Rogan and Elon Musk. Hmm. I think those are big factors. It's not just Trump, because we talk about the policies or do you like Trump, don't you like Trump?
Don't forget Dana White, too.
And Dana, yes.
Yeah, if you're a UFC honk and you love Dana White, this is a...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great point.
All right, we played this earlier. I want to play the video again. This is Cut 8, Phil. This is a TV station out of... Where was this? WNEP-TV?
Yeah, it's ABC 16 in Central PA.
They were airing Formula One, the Mexico Grand Prix, and there was a test pattern on the test that they're claiming on the bottom for election results. This aired Sunday. This is Cut 8, Phil. Go. Yeah, I'm not going to play it. I just want to. Can you describe it?
You're watching the race, and at the bottom where they have, you know, the weather and the headline stories, now they're scrolling through. Yeah, it was Casey by 8%. So let's freeze it right there, Phil. If we could freeze it right there, you'll see Kamala. Yep, I don't want Oliver. Nobody cares about Oliver and Stein. He's 1%. Harris and Trump. There you go. Harris, 52%. Trump, 47%. Kamala Harris with 3,293,712 votes to Donald Trump's 2,997,793 votes with 100% of precincts reporting. And then just scroll it and then freeze it on the Senate race. And let's see here. All right, freeze it right there. So, yeah, no, they do have Casey winning. Go figure.
They do? Okay.
Yeah. Casey.
I thought I saw McCormick winning.
Well, it's weird. They have the check mark for McCormick. If you see it, right
maybe
there.
Maybe that's what I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have Casey winning by 8 points, 53% to 45%, 2.29 million to 1.97 million votes. So it's just interesting that their random simulations have Kamala by 5% and Casey by 8%.
It's weird because every TV station I've ever worked for in my career did those tests. They did do the test, but they did it. They made sure that they had zeros. They did all zeros. It was a mandate.
Mm.
And so whoever.
So there's no presumption of
exactly,
bias. Yeah.
Wow.
They just did zeros. So this, you know, I just wonder if, well, it'll be interesting. This is Luzerne County. It'll be interesting if somebody gets fired over it. I mean, it depends on how much pressure they get.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah.
If they had, maybe they would get in more trouble if they had said Trump won. I don't know.
Phil, do us a favor. Write down both the Senate and the presidency, those numbers, the percentage and the raw numbers of votes. And let's keep that on file until the state is officially called. Let's see how accurate those practice run tabulations are to the real thing.
You just never want that.
No, it doesn't make me feel comfortable. And I'd be honest. I mean, it would be nice if it was the other way around. I don't want to see that regardless, right? Like, you don't want to let the cat out of the... You want to just assume everything, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
just
saying.
Like, it's just like we always say, why would you alienate half of your potential client base or customer base? Why would you do that? And that's for anybody.
Yep.
You know, and that was the whole Michael Jordan philosophy that we talk about, right? That,
yep.
Republicans buy Nikes too.
That's
so
right.
It's just stupid.
That's right.
We should break for Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Because I believe she's coming up at 8:45.
That's right. The Toe Woo! Rogan experience on Notify.
Are you gonna like smoke a blunt and?
No, that would probably lead to me being terminated. And I'm also not a marijuana smoker, as we know. So. No, I'm going to pass on that. But now if somebody wants to slide in a bottle of Tito's, I'll pour a cocktail right now. I'll do that right now and get set up in during the break. All right, quick break. We'll come back. It is time for Esty to join us without the presence of her counterpart, Sean Farish.
Yeah.
So this will be the first time we're doing this. So Kamala will not get interrupted, and she won't have to say, I'm speaking, right? Back after this.
Dawn, stick right there because you're going to do What a Crock after this. Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. I can't believe we're at week 9 already. Look at this. Thursday, tonight, the Texans and the Jets. Oh, I should have brought Phil Omquist in for this. Sorry.
What did you say? You should have brought a thong?
Brought Phil Omquist in for this. Yeah, sorry. Because, you know, he likes the New York Jets. I'm going to go with this for tonight's game, this three-leg same-game parlay. Breece Hall on the over for rushing yards. C.J. Stroud on the over, 1.5 passing touchdowns. And Stephon Diggs, I'm going to go over, I think over on the rushing yards. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. By the way, combine those three bets for one same-game parlay. Bet $5, you get $150 in bonus bets if it wins. FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL, and 1210 WPHD, 21 and over, present at PA, first online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. While you're watching the game and betting on it, you can also do What a Crock, right, Dawn?
Yeah, and this time of year, you think of even Halloween, this is a great day to fire up the crock pot, maybe with friends and family stopping by on this day, because it's one of those days, right? And as we head into the fall, cooler weather, I love to just pull out the crock pot and tailgating. So we're tailgating. One of the dads hooked it up, so we're going to have a power source, and we're going to have a crock pot cook-off for our tailgate for high school. You know, high school football, we got Penn State at noon this weekend. So maybe you're thinking about having people over. You can listen right here when we air the game, but What a Crock makes it so easily. What a Crock's delicious, easy to prepare meals make it so simple. I just put one of their meals into my slow cooker in the morning, go about my day. When I come home, dinner is waiting. The house is filled. It just smells so good with these delicious meals. And by the way, this is family owned. These are home cooked meals, as I say, just not by me. Here's a big difference, and this is the What a Crock difference. Most of those meal kit companies, you have to do all kinds of prep. That's not what this is. This is, they do everything. The cleanup is really quick and easy. Simple as dropping that meal into your slow cooker. Voila. Dinner is one and done. Looking for fall comfort food? I'm telling you, whether it's, it's like a roast beef meal, whether it's the pulled buffalo chicken, those chicken parm meatballs. I could go on and on. All different types of chili. Whether it's a vegan chili, a white bean chili, whether it's the beef chili, delicious. So they make it so easy. Use promo code WPHT at checkout. You're going to get $10 off your first order, whatacrock.com. That's code WPHT, $10 off your first order. Do this, What a Crock, dinner made easy. Order now at whatacrock.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Madam Vice President Harris, good morning. How are you? Thanks for making this finally happen.
Good morning. Good morning, Till. How are you doing today on this spooky day?
I'm doing well. This is a very spooky setting indeed. You know, I don't have my typical contraband here for the podcast, but I want to have this conversation with you. And I just want to start with, you know, why is it that you are always trying to dictate the format, the length, the specifics of the interviews when, you know, most Americans claim that they don't really know much about you?
Well, look, here's the thing. Toe, right? That's your name, Toe?
Yes.
Okay. So look, I always think about how, you know, less is more, right? Now, I'm going to break this down for you. I'm going to break this down. I broke it down for Rogan, but he seemed very confused. Imagine a room filled with, you know, furniture, colors, and decorations. Now, at first glance, it feels vibrant, right? It feels alive. But as you know, as you step in, the chaos, it gets overwhelming. You know, your mind is racing. You're trying to take in every detail, but instead, you know, you end up feeling, you know, somewhat disoriented. Now picture the same room stripped down to its, you know, essential modalities. A simple chair, a single light fixture, you know, a blank wall, something. Suddenly, you know, you start to feel a sense of calm wash over you. You know, you can breathe. You can think, right? You can be joyful. And that absence of clutter, well, that invites clarity. And that's what I want to bring back to this nation. So, you know, isn't that curious that removing so much, you're actually gaining something, right? Your focus sharpens. And, you know, 3 hours listening to me, I mean, these people are going to think I'm nuts. So there's not a shot in hell I'm doing 3 hours with anybody. Yeah. All right. So I explained to Joe that, you know, long format just isn't really appealing, right? Less is more. And, you know, he didn't seem to agree. He wanted to sit there and eat elk. You know, he invited me. He said, we're going to eat elk. I'm not sure what kind of fish that is, but I explained to him, you know, half hour is really all, you know, all we can do for the campaign. You know, I only have about, you know, one interview slot a week that I agree to regularly. So he didn't want to make it happen. You know, I mean, he was acting like a little girl. So we just, you know, we decided to scrap it. So I came to you guys instead. I hope you don't mind.
No, it's very interesting. And we're grateful for your time, Kamala. Do you think it's excessive, though, to call Trump Adolf Hitler? And what do you think about Joe Biden calling Trump supporters, quote, garbage?
I think it's terrible that Donald Trump called his own supporters garbage. But look, that's not important. I want to say that, look, I'm running for president, okay? I'm running for president of the United States, and I've been very clear about that. Sometimes, you know, when we have too many ideas swirling around, we struggle to express any of them fully. So by narrowing our focus, we're giving space for one idea to bloom. And here, you know, here's the twist. In simplifying, we often discover connections that we really didn't see before. So, you know, I've been very clear that Donald Trump, he's a danger. He is a threat. I'm running for president. I can't speak on Joe Biden, but, you know, it's said that Donald Trump would call all Americans as well as Puerto Ricans garbage. It's a very sad thing. And I'm here to let the people know that, you know, I don't approve of that. I don't approve of that. I was okay with calling them deplorables, but anything else, I mean, that's excessive. We don't need any more division in this country.
You know, normally when we do and we tape the podcast here on the Joe Rogan Experience on Notify, I'll, you know, have some marijuana, maybe a gummy, a vape pen. You know, every now and then we'll have some tequila, things like that. You seem to really enjoy that beer with Gretchen Whitmer at that Michigan bar. So let's have this conversation, right? Like, you know, what are your favorite cocktails, and do you partake in gummies?
Oh boy.
So that wasn't beer. It was actually just straight whiskey. I like it neat.
Oh boy.
You know, on the rocks, hold the ice. Right. Yeah, I like it specific. So, you know, but I'm not a fan of gummies, although some people are really surprised when I tell them that. I do enjoy inhaling helium from time to time. It's just really a fun thing I picked up from Joe. Me and Nancy, we would switch out Joe's oxygen tank. And I mean, it was a sight to behold. But Joe Biden's neurologist said we can't do that anymore. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, I'm not against gummies, but I personally like something, you know, a little stronger. So I have a little batch of something with a little fentanyl, and not too much.
Oh, no, my God.
It's just a little, you know, to get the day going. This is a hard job. This is a hard job. Have you ever put Desitin cream on a man like that? Have you ever done that? That's what I've done for 3.5 years for this country. I had to make sure that man stays alive. I had to make sure that that man doesn't rash or chafe. I had to make sure that, you know, every time he fell down the stairs, that there was no cognitive impairments in addition to, you know, I mean, it was just, it's a full-time job. I'm really sick of not getting the credit, you know, for where it's due. You know, people think it's Jill. Jill doesn't like doing anything. She's always, you know, running around talking about her nails are done. She can't wipe. It's not her turn. You know, Nancy's under the table with her own concoction of drugs. She likes prescription pills.
Oh man.
Yeah, she's invested in some of those big pharma companies. I would follow her, you know, her stock market portfolio if I were you. But that's just, you know, that's just some family advice because you guys are great. So yeah, you know, we all partake. It's funny how everyone thinks it's Hunter, but he's, you know, he partakes in the least amount. Oh yeah, it's always a good time. It's always joy in the White House.
Yep.
And then somebody, you know, papootsies themselves, and then, you know, the joy's over, party's over. But, you know, we're hoping to keep the joy, you know, for the next 4 years.
You know, Madam Vice President Harris, I wanted to talk to you about a very touchy subject because, you know, this is a uncensored podcast. And, you know, we go where, you know, the media is afraid to go. And nobody in the media has had the nerve to ask you about Dougie's past. He impregnated the nanny in his first marriage. There's allegations out there that he's a misogynist. He's assaulted women physically. Can you confirm this? Did you vet Doug properly prior to getting married? Has he knocked you around a few times?
Oh my God.
Yeah, Donald Trump has faced several sexual assault allegations over the years, all right, with various women coming forward.
Yeah, but we're asking you about Doug, with all due respect. Doug,
I'm speaking. I'm speaking now, all right? This is, you know, we're going to talk about Donald Trump because that's the danger to our democracy right now. And for the record, Dougie knocked me around. Come on, Toe. Come on. We know who wears the pantalones in this relationship. All right. Shout out to my the Hispanic listeners.
Oh boy. Oh
hi, amigos.
Boy.
Hello, amigos. And to my brothers and sisters. Look, that man, you know, he's had a few allegations against him, but who hasn't?
Oh, man.
So, Yeah, the nanny was out of line. The nanny was out of line, and he did what he needed to do. And that's, you know, we want to bring real masculinity back into America. So, you know, that's just, you know, those are just rumors. I think Barron Trump started them. Trump told it. I mean, I mean, these people are so unserious. We should go back to talking about Donald Trump. You know, that man is a felon. And he has, I mean, when I'm done with him, he's going to have 65 indictments, right? We gotta get those rookie numbers up. This 34, that's a rookie number. Oh my God. With somebody with my, you know, with my, you know, I was a prosecutor. Yeah. I don't know if you know that. I was a prosecutor. So my record speaks for itself. You know, I, with the swipe of my pen, I used to take some of these poor bastards out.
Kamala Harris.
You know, I mean, I'm speaking. I'll tell you when I'm finished.
Just take your time.
You know, I love that power. You know, we talked about helium. We talked about fentanyl. But there's nothing like being drunk with that power of that pen. Oof. Yeah, I can't wait till November 5th. I don't know if you know, but ABC already reported that I won. So you guys stay tuned because it's gonna be madness the next 4 years.
You guys stay tuned. We'll continue Kamala Harris, Toe Rogan experience here on Notify. How does Notify pay me $17 million a year? Because we've got great sponsors. We'll continue with the vice president as we continue here on Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.